Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Allah Ta'ala's favors are so innumerable that you start thinking about it as a favor within a favor, as a blessing within a blessing. Even that illness, you went through it, I went through it. But when you recover after that, and you, such a joy. But the joy comes after that illness. You don't go through it, so you don't appreciate good health. So to appreciate good health, your taste coming back, smell coming back, your energy is coming back, you have to go through that, then you appreciate this. But if you didn't go through it at all, then will you appreciate this? So it is just favor upon favor, as though the world seems like that Allah Pak wanted to favor us, therefore He made us. He brought us here, why? He wants to be extending His bounties to us, passing on His bounties to us, therefore He brought us here. But just that we don't understand the format, how it works, how it comes about, we don't understand that. Because we don't understand that, therefore, hey, what's happening? But when the joy comes in, then فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَقْتَصِدْ. Some people then become straight. But some people remain crooked. مَا يَجْحَدُ بِآيَاتِنَا كُلُّ إِلَّا كُلُّ خَتَّارٍ كَفُورٍ. Some people, they remain straight. And many people, they could still crooked. They don't think of it. What, where I was, and now where I am. You know, when I was ill, right? You know, I was asking my grandchildren, pull out my jacket. Now I'm thinking, hey, what a stupid thing I was doing. Now that you're well, so I didn't have that enough strength, you know, to even, but somewhere there's no pain, but I could see that energy is gone. I didn't want to speak to anybody. Anybody didn't want to speak. I'm seeing now, I had to preserve my energy for the morning sabak than to talk to anybody. But I know I'll get drained. If I, you know, talk, I'll get drained. So I'd rather just preserve that energy. But now, you only appreciate that energy coming back after you went through the difficulty. Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, he's speaking to his Ustad, Muhammad Yaqub Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, that was the Shaykh al-Hadith, the Kutub of the Zamana, very great. Can't imagine now, it's beyond our imagination how great they were. So the Hadith comes, that the Jannatis are gone to Jannat, Jahannamis are gone to Jahannam. As the Jannatis are gone to Jannat, then Jannat is still complaining, I still got space here. So Allah Ta'ala will create a creation and fill Jannat with that creation. So Al-Mu'ad Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullah is suggesting to his Ustad, that how wonderful it could have been that we could have been that creation just made and pushed into Jannat. So his Ustad gave a wonderful answer. He says, "In logon ko Jannat ka kya maza aayega? These people that are just made and pushed into Jannat straight away, what enjoyment will they get? And those that went through difficulties, sometimes you are not feeling well, sometimes there's a funeral, someone is getting sick, could send to a dentist, a heart specialist, what are you going through? Business problems, people are complaining, you've got a problem with your neighbor, they're not playing the game with you. So after so much of difficulty, you went through all that sabr, that patience, that endurance. Now you saw that maza of Jannat now. Now you really, really appreciate it. If you're eating bhai every day, will the bhai be exciting to you any longer? Once a year, hey, bhai is coming here. Don't forget, I need the marinade properly. And the works also, you must better get it. And the chutneys also, you get it. So it's an event. But every now and then you're having it, you lose the taste. So this is the world that we're living in. This is the description of the world that we're living in. The better thing is to live with moderation. too much of wealth, what happens? That wealth, one, it becomes an addiction. And then it becomes a lifestyle. When it becomes a lifestyle, then I can't do without it. And the nature of wealth is unpredictable, uncertain. Sometimes it's going up, and sometimes it's crashing. It was such a stable. You know, you had an anchor tenant, Bluetooth, blue-eyed tenant we had. And that just crashed. Hey, what happened now? Now for you to be able to sustain that becomes difficult. But if you went with moderation, one day you had curry khichdi, one day you had masoor, one day mug, now and then you had biryani, it's alright. But every now and then biryani and ghost, every now and then fish and biryani and ghost all the time. Then that person, that child, can get into a depression very easily. But if he's made to understand, alright, just live moderately, eat moderately, then he can sustain himself under any circumstance. And a man, Muslims, not only a man, Muslims, we are born here for what? For Allah Ta'ala. To serve Allah Ta'ala, to serve His deen. And to be able to serve His deen, we need to be able to adjust ourselves to any situation. Hazrat Kitab's name is Beshti Zewar. Heavenly jewel, right? Heavenly jewel. What is he saying? When he said it's a heavenly jewel, what it is? What is he saying to him? He's telling you that the jewel and the wealth of this world is not something to chase after. The glimmer, the glamour, the glitter of this world is not something to chase after. Right? The real thing to chase after is the jewel of the hereafter. That means what he's saying? That the glamour of this world, it looks nice. Say, varnished, polished, painted, new car, that type of clothing, that type of socks, and that type of shoes and jacket. That's not the thing to run after. Then what is the thing that we need to go after? We need to go after the jewel that is eternal. So what is that, that jewel that is eternal? That jewel that is eternal is two things. One is the correct service to Allah Ta'ala, and one is kindness to people. One is the correct service to Allah Ta'ala, and one is the kindness to people. Imagine we grew up in a lot of luxury, a lot of beauty around, painted and varnished and whatever else, right? Everything looks too beautiful. But we're not serving Allah Ta'ala like how we serve, we need to serve Allah Ta'ala. The child is coming up now, but he's not showing that service to Allah Ta'ala, and he's not showing kindness to people. What have you brought up? He doesn't know. All he knows, I must serve myself. But people, family, friends, brothers, sisters, nephews, niece, Allah Pak has it such that all are not on the same footing. All are not on the same page. Thinking varies. People are not on the same footing. But our original Muslim style was, why a little bit more? Let me discreetly help my friend, my brother, my cousin, my aunt. Nobody knows. I know some people, even in Spain, I know, personally I know. They will just go, when he's building a house, they can see he doesn't have money. He needs a house, he doesn't have the money to do the house. But they'll discreetly go, give half a million. And up till today, nobody knows about it. Somehow, very, very roundabout way, I don't know how it took, how it happened, but I got to know, you know, very, very subtly, but the person put it to me. Not him, also someone else, the third, fourth person came and told me, this man, this is what he did. But now the man is dead and gone, and up till now nobody knows that this is the one that helped his sister, his brother, his nephew, his aunt, his brother, went and helped him. Nobody knows about it. So the two things that we need to really invest in, either the service of Allah Ta'ala, the worship of Allah Ta'ala, the service of Allah Ta'ala, or the kindness to people. Two things. Our energies, our minds must work in these two things. So you see the person coming out, then he is so good to Allah Ta'ala. You can see him, when you see a person now coming to a masjid, he's an embodiment of Islam. See how noble, see his walk, see his ladies talk. I know from old, when I was a young boy, you know, 15, 20, says, see this person here. You observe, right? You observe what you're doing. Says, this man here, when he walks, his eyes are on the ground. He hardly looks on the side, hardly looks on the left. His eyes are on the ground. But what a good thing to do. Because your eyes are stuck to the ground, alright? With a little bit of care, not that you bump onto someone or you hurt yourself, but your eyes are on the ground. So it's very unlikely that you look at the wrong thing. But you're looking straight, And you see one auntie this side here, one girl here, astaghfirullah, la hawla wa la quwwata. Bhai, I don't say don't make istighfar, but what stops you from looking at the ground? The more you look at the ground, the more you'll think that you're made of earth. The more you'll save your eyes, right? The more you'll save yourself. Sometimes it is something that is too attractive and too beautiful, right? Now that thing gets stuck into the heart. In Farsi there's a poetry, it says that the sight, the arrow it releases, you know. It's so strange, so unique. So strange, so poisonous, so unique it is, the arrow that it releases. Because that arrow gets stuck into the heart so deep, though you cannot see that arrow. That arrow of the eye is not visible. But when you get stuck to remove it, it's too difficult. Your eyes are stuck onto that girl, or onto that boy that's got girlish features. It's stuck and it's got deep into your heart. Gee, now you're in namaz when you think about that. You're in sajda, you think about that. So one is haram, right? And one is aspiring for wealth. That is also not right. See, so many places, لَا يَهُرَّنَّكَ تَقَلُّبُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُ مَتَاعٌ قَلِيلٌ ثُمَّ مَأْوَاهُمْ جَهَنَّمُ. That wealth, etc. of this, they're struttering the earth, flying around here, their clothing, their business, their motor cars, all that. That mustn't deceive you. Now you're going to keep looking, hey, this man got a Ferrari. I'm still with my 4x4. I'm still with my, you know, my old Corolla still. And look at what he's got. The same age, he's younger than me. And see how he's flying around. And I'm still stuck at the same point. But you didn't look at the car, there was no anxiety within you. You looked at the car now there's anxiety. So just keep to yourself, think to yourself. You look at his jacket, at his house, at the holidays that he's going for, the umrah trips that he's making, you kept on looking at that. Hey, I'm such a gareeb, I don't have all this comforts, this luxuries and all that. And see how this man is going on. There was one great bazaar in Dioban. How they thought, how they reasoned. See, Islam has got a religion, it's got a social etiquette as well. It's got religion and deen and ibadah, etc. But it's got a social etiquette as well. Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sabran says that I went and visited my ustad, Mia Asghar Hussain, also a resident of Dioban, Darul Dioban, right? Teacher and a very old ustad. So I just suggested to him, you know, I said, you building your house out of mud. And in India gets its monsoon rains. The urban side is even worse. I know at that time when we were living, when we were studying, there were still many homes that were built out of mud. This one is the baked, you know, and unbaked. See, if you go to Medina in the Qabristan, you know, Jannatul Baqi, you will still see the stacks of that unbaked clay. I don't know if you've seen. When we use planks in that cupboard and they use unbaked. That's the closest to the sunnah. What they do in Jannatul Baqi is closest. So, you use this unbaked clay, come the monsoon rains, the rainy season, then 3/4 of it is washed away. And sometimes the whole wall gets washed away. Now you have to rebuild the whole thing. So Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahib knew his ustad, and he says to him, you know what, if you could just put it in solid clay, bricks, baked properly, so the rain will come and go, but this will remain. For 40 years, 50 years it will remain. It is just double the price, or triple the price, but it's such a big savior in the long term. So he suggested to the ustad. Now the ustad also, I used to see this in Dioban, you know, the ustads. They were like a breed of their own. You know. So kind, compassionate, you could talk to them, joke with them. It was like a different world you're living in. So the ustad tells him, yeah, it's a beautiful suggestion that you have brought up, you know. And I didn't even think about it, but such a beautiful suggestion. Or at the sitting went, his ustad offered him some tea, biscuits, whatever. Like he's relaxed, etc. So what suggestion you gave is too good, is too excellent. But I had a deep thought about this thing here. What my mind tells me, you see all the people living in this district here are poor. All are poor, below the bread line, right? This is what they can afford. Now amongst them, if I put up a big, nice building, right? Gujarati is here, Aveli, right? I put a palace up there in the midst of all these people here. Won't these people feel hurt about their poverty? Won't they think? But the same token, I say, right, we enjoying a bribe, right, please, for the sake of Allah, don't have it totally in the open on a windy day, and especially in Spingo. Because Spingo is near the beach, you're getting a lot of winds, right? You're having it on the open. Now you're putting bribe and all that, right? Bakrid is coming, right? You're having a bribe and all that. So that wind is pushing out of the street. A lot of people can't afford all these type of luxuries. Now, don't they have feelings? Don't they? And we don't have the... We can't... Everybody passing the street, take this thing. You can't do that. It's going to be impractical. So, if you need to do this thing, yeah, then a little bit in an enclosed place. Right? And give... Let us be more charitable, especially when people are in constraints. Right? In one year in Medina Munawwara, when the people were in constraints, then Nabi Sallam actually prevented the people... Don't preserve the meat this year. Don't preserve the meat this year. Rather, give it all the meat. Qurbani, we give it all completely. So the Sahaba Kiram came to inquire the following year, Ya Rasulullah, you asked us not to preserve the meat. They had their own ways to preserve the meat. Right? Up till recently in India, they weren't the freezers so common like before. Right? Before, there was no, now you're getting freezers. Before, there was no freezers. So they had their own ways to preserve the meat. So Nabi Sallam asked them not to preserve the meat and to give it out in charity to all those that are deserving. Now the coming year came, and when the coming year came, now they asked, now, Ya Rasulullah, last year we were asked not to preserve the meat. Should that continue? No, no. This was only because of the poverty that had struck the people the previous year. Now you may preserve the meat. It's all right. See. So when there's poverty around, you see people... So these two things, eyes, right? One is to look at haram. And one is to look at people's wealth. Mataun qalil, it's a temporary thing. You're going to look at it, you're going to admire that thing, you will want it. And if you look at it from another perspective, you think, I'm eating well. I'm not going hungry to sleep. And number three, this, my mind is relaxed. I'm eating a little less. My mind is relaxed. I'm not owing anybody. Nobody can point a finger towards me. The moment I looked at your wealth, then I aspired for it. When I aspired for it, I couldn't get it the right way. Then I'm going to try somehow or the other to get that wealth. And then after that, I'm living in disgrace. Now that person says, hey, what about my money? What about my money? What about my money? When are you going to see us right? Now you brought that disgrace onto yourself, looking onto that person's wealth. But don't look at the person's wealth. Look at within, what's your wealth? Many times this happens. You have stories, right? Someone is looking, he heard about an investment, right? When he heard about that investment, so he had a free holding house and all that he had. So he went and sold that thing, right? And borrowed some money from the bank to put into that investment, which was promising a very great return. That thing collapsed, no house, no business. See? My late father, Allah fill his grave with Noor, he used to say, by Bijani Aveli ne joine apri jompri ne ni tori karwan. He says, you look at the next person's palace, but because of his palace, you even broke your hut. That hut will go and the palace will also go. But enjoy yourself, be happy, be content. See that gift of contentment, that satisfaction. Really, it's irreplaceable. When you content, it becomes to such a point, it reaches such a point, that you will love people and people will like you. See, you know, this person here, he doesn't stretch his hand. We can meet him, we can talk to him. He'll talk about deen, good things, good values. He's a respectable person. But now just this one teaching, simple teaching of Islam, satisfaction. Be satisfied, be contented, be happy. This Buzruganadeen of the past, was one Salim Chishti Rahmatullahi, perhaps just after the time, around the time of Aurangzeb Alamgir, around that time. So this Buzurg, this Salim Chishti Rahmatullah Ali, so his Khadim came in, knocked the door, you know, said, come in. So when the Khadim came in, so he says, the king is coming. Hey, what a stupid thing, you knocked the door, you disturbed I was relaxed and you disturbed. I thought, you know, you were cleaning that bed and you may have picked up some fat bug, you know, so So you came to amuse me, to show me that bug. That's why I got happy. Now you're saying this person is coming in. Hey, what a stupid thing to disturb me like this. Anyway, now you see the contentment. See? So as the king walked in, now the king is coming in. Aurangzeb, not a small king. The whole of Afghanistan, Ceylon, Pakistan, everything was one at that time. That whole thing. And now he's sitting on with such power, such wealth, right? Now the king walked in, he had his legs folded, now he stretched his feet. So the king is saying, but the king or the khadim is saying, but where is this? Where did you learn this? That when the king walks in, then you stretch your feet towards him. So his answer was too beautiful. He says, you know, from the time that I learned to close my hand to these people's gifts, now I'm stretching my feet. What he says? At the time that I learned to close my hands at these people's gifts, then I stretch my feet. See that? See what answer is giving. That contentment. What Allah Pak has given, be thankful, be grateful. And you'll find such happiness within you. Wallah, you won't find that happiness in wealth. That wealth is just a glitter of the eye. Remember, it's just a glitter of the eye. There's nothing beyond that. The real satisfaction is with Allah Ta'ala. I was just reading something to Junaid Sahib. Shaykh Hind Rahmatullah Ali, right? Hazrat Muhammad Thanvi Sahib Rahman used to say that it's wrong to be calling him as a Shaykh Hind. You should be calling him Shaykh Al-Alam. Shaykh of the world, not just Shaykh Hind. Not just of India. Because his students, right? His students and students, you look, they are about the main people that are responsible for all the dini khidmat till today. Whereas he passed away some 100 years ago, right? But up to this day, you look at any department of dini work, it is his direct student or indirect student that is doing the work. Right? So he must have been such a great personality, yet no, you don't find his name too much, you don't hear too much about him. But he must have lost himself so much, made himself so low, I'm nothing, I'm absolutely nothing, that he didn't want anybody to recognize him, nobody to know him. Did the work, but without any recognition. So one day he's speaking to his Mawlana, Mirati Rahmatullah Alayhi, Ashik Ilahi Mirati. One is Mawlana Ashik Ilahi Balan Shahri. He passed away recently, right? In Medina Munawwara. And one is Mawlana Ashik Ilahi Mirati. He passed away around 1935 somewhere. 1935 or a little bit later, or 1940 must have passed away. So, Shaykh Ul Hind Rahmatullah is telling Mawlana Mirati Rahmatullah that he's his student. He says, Mawli Ashik Ilahi, may aapko ke baat ek baat batao? I tell you something. Yeah, zarur ab bataye. You know, to create show, you listen to me and listen to me a little more, with more interest. Eagerly you listen to me. He says, you know what? Some years ago in this district, now if you look at the demographics of India, then the area in Saharanpur, Deoband, Muzaffarnagar, that was the richest in Islam at the time. Too rich in Islam. From that zamana till now. But he says, that zamana, it was so weak, although then too comparatively they were rich in Islam, but it was so weak that if someone passed away, then you couldn't find a person to do the janazah namaz. Right? Then madrasas and all started off, and with the starting of madrasas, what happened was that now every small village has got an alim. Now, you saw this from one dimension. Let me show you the other dimension, right? The other dimension now, it was around 1860. You know this mutiny that took place, they call it Ghadar, when they were chopping the heads of the Ulama-i Kiram, right? That was 1860, around that time, 1857, 1860. Right? So when that thing was happening, the state was so constrained at that time. But look at the power of the Iman. Look at the power of the Iman. So mighty the Iman. Yet there were not so many ulama. Look at the Iman at that time. Iman was such that one person is being put to the gallows and executed. Others are watching. 100 people are lined up all to go to the gallows and get hanged. So they are watching the person going to the gallows, getting hanged, his body is being lowered, is being buried, they can see it. Second person is coming up. And it's just a matter about his iman, just so. If he just shirks his iman, they will send him away, right? But let alone an elderly Muslim, even a young child, 13, 14 years of age, he doesn't want to compromise 1% of his iman. Yet they can see the person is going, his neck is being chopped off, he's sent down, he's being buried. They can see all this thing happening with the eyes. But look at the strength of that iman. Not for anything will I compromise my iman. I won't do it. No matter, you can do what you want, but I'm not going to compromise my iman. They're seeing all this with their eyes. Then he says, after that, he says, there's a hadith which says, before Qiyamah, ilm will decrease. But there's another hadith which says, that ilm will be on the increase. Knowledge, on one side, hadith says that knowledge will decrease. Right? And there's another hadith that says that knowledge will decrease, will increase. One side is saying it will decrease, one side is saying it will increase. Right? Now the ulama-i kiram, the buzugana deen, Allah Ta'ala brightened their hearts so much that even they didn't see the zamana, but they understood what Rasulullah was referring to. See the brightness of the heart. The brightness of the heart was such you could exactly see what Rasulullah was referring to. So they reconciled and they explained that there will be that ilm, right? There will be that ilm, but that spirit and that light of ilm will not be in the ilm. So there'll be an abundance. But now you see, there is an abundance. Don't you see? Everybody can stay on some WhatsApp, some hadith a day, Quranic ayat a day, right? Everybody's watching, writing, right? But does it have that impact? Does it have that influence? Does it have that? So, you see that zamana, what it was, and then a zamana after that, a small period after that, what happened? That there's an abundance. Now he says, after that, he says, may or could sunau, but I tell you something further than this. He said, yeah, tell me. So now we've reached such a low ebb that you can pay a person a few coppers and steal his iman. See what he's saying? The Shaykh Rahimahullah is saying. You can give him a few coppers and steal away his iman. You can just hurt him a little bit. Just hurt him, just threaten him, right? Just threaten him about his business, about his wealth. Just frighten him up and you can rob him of his iman. Can you see where we were? That young, that old, that learned, that illiterate, nobody could shake his iman. Now you just shake the person a little bit about his wealth, a little bit about your health, a little bit about something, and you can rob him of his iman. And the third thing he mentioned, one is wealth, one is frighten the person about himself, and the third thing he says, just give him a little bit of English titles and you can rob him of his iman. We know what he's talking about. He said in a little bit of a very, very discreet way, just give him a little bit of titles and you can rob him of his iman. But see what he's saying. I ask you, in the house of Allah Ta'ala, is this not the reality? Is this the truth or not the truth? Then he says, but what is the cause of all this? He's given the whole story now, what's happening. Now, India, in the late 1800 and the beginning of the 20th century, 1900, what's going on? But he says now, do you know what's the cause of all this? Then he comes up with a real problem. He says, what happens? He says, we saw that zamana, the beginnings of Dioban, right? And people were living in shelters, students are living in shelters. Hardly proper homes or hostels, etc., where they could house themselves, keep themselves warm against the cold, and keep themselves cool against the warmth of the heat of India. They didn't have proper dwellings. Food was scarce. Even the children that are studying here, food was scarce, right? Food was scarce, the dwellings went right. But nearly every child that came out from that institute, from Darul Dioban at that time, he was a star. He was a guide. Any area is going up, I think it's just brightening up. Any place that is going up, he's just brightening up the whole place. You see that one person and then one person is brightening up the whole area. And now there's so much of products, but there's hardly any production. So many people are being produced, but what's the level of the production? The more is coming out, the more the confusion. He's saying something, he's saying something else, he's saying something else. The more they are being produced, then the more the confusion that's coming out. Then he says now, see that he's talking about these three things, and the fourth, and he comes to the fourth point. But he says thereafter, people come and complain, you know, that this is what's happening, ulama are saying this, and this is the behavior, etc., etc. This is what they're complaining about. But they're not watching, they're not looking at their own problem. They are pointing towards the ulama, and what they're saying is right. It's confusion, this fitna, etc. But these people that are complaining, they're not looking within themselves that they also are contributing largely, in fact, entirely they are contributing to the confusion. He says, they're not concerned about halal and haram. They are just worried about the amounts. They're just worried about the amounts. They're not worried about halal and haram, insurance, this way, that way, bank, this, whatever. But just get that wealth, accumulate that wealth. So they are looking only for the quantity. They are not looking for the quality of that wealth. See, he says that when the madrasa started, that time, people were in constraints. Wealth was very tight, very, very tight. So someone is bringing 10 rands, 50 rands, 100 rands, small amounts they're bringing. And with the small amounts, madrasa ka kaam chalta tha, deen ka kaam chal raha tha. With the small amounts, because it was pure halal, absolutely not contamination, no contamination at all. Right? So there was so much of good that was coming out, so much of production. Amount was very little, but the amount that was coming out, some 12 years ago, I think, I was in Etikaf in this masjid, and there was an American professor that came in. Now, you don't know what they're coming for. See, sometimes you get the consulate phoning, sometimes you get a professor, but you don't know what they're coming for. So these people here, so I'm a little bit careful, very apprehensive, because they can talk to you, and the next moment, they're writing a thesis. They are being paid by someone to write a thesis about what? About Islam, about Tabligh Jamaat, about Madrasa. So they will write all that. Right. And then whoever is guiding them and leading them through, now they are doing it for a purpose. They are doing it. They got an agenda. The agenda is to get all the information and then how to attack. So this person is doing it innocently. He's thinking, I'm doing a thesis, right, on Islam, on Tabligh Jamaat, or whatever, right? But in the thesis, he's showing how the thing operates. Now, when they know exactly how it operates, then to attack it isn't it easy. He's doing innocently that I have to get my doctorate, whatever, and therefore I need to do a thesis, writing it out. So when this type of people come here, I'm very careful, very apprehensive. So anyway, he threw a bait at me. I can see now the way this man is talking. He says, you know, but for Islam to flourish, you need wealth. So I can imagine now which direction is going to take me. Needs wealth, so we can make a plan for you. Come from America, I got this position here. But then you need to toe the line, see. That will be the end of it. But gradually, they can't just release all the arrows in one go. They have to release it, but gradually. So he gave this story to me. So I heard him out first. The idea is to listen to the person. I heard him out. I said, no, I differ with you. I don't accept what you say. I don't agree with what you say at all. So how come now? He felt disturbed, like, you know, he's a professor coming from America, this big university, Cambridge or whatever. And then one shot, I just bulldozed him straight away. So he felt a little bit offended. I said, no, I don't agree with you. I disagree with you. So why? I said, see, Hazrat Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he passed away, he left this world without a cent in his pocket, but the entire world at his feet. He left the world without one cent in his pocket, but the entire world at his feet. Born as an orphan, brought up as an orphan, right? But then, what brought about this type of acceptance? What brought about? That was the truth. The noor of Allah Ta'ala. Nobody can extinguish. You can't put off the noor of Allah Ta'ala. You try what you want. The noor of Allah Ta'ala, you try what you want. You can't put it off. Then again, an example of contemporary times. One was 1400 years ago. And now, of recent times. You can see, one of the most flourishing works internationally, globally today, is Tablighi Jamaat, right? It's about the most flourishing work. Whether it's caught the ulama, it caught the awam, it caught the entire world, right? But do you know its humble beginnings? The Markaz at Nizamuddin in the time of Maulana Ilyas Rahmatullahi had reached such a low ebb of starvation that Maulana had to make an announcement in his students, right? 300 or 400 students he had at the time. Please, for Allah's sake, I'm begging you, you go back to your home. Because I got nothing to feed you. Now I'm at the point of starvation. I got nothing to feed you, so please, say, no. We'll remain, we'll die like you die. We'll live like you live. And on the same time, one of Maulana's nephew or something, he came to Delhi. Says, I heard that my uncle is a big sheikh, right? Ramadan time now, hey, you will see the table laid out, you know, nice and thick. So I'm going to have something today. With that in mind, youngster, about 15, 18 years of age, and he's coming into Nizamuddin, there'll be works, there'll be samosas, bhajiyas, full moon, half moon, they'll be laid out nicely. So I'm going to enjoy, I'm going to have a real treat, right? Now, young boy, you expect that from him, right? When he came there on that day, so Maulana had gular. Gular is a wild pig. This is too much. Seri time, the same pig is wild, raw pig. And that's the surf at Seri time. He said, hey, too much, Mola. Well, Jazakallah, I'm leaving. Mola was an intelligent person, right? But full of akhlaq. So he caught on what happened to this youngster. So, don't worry, just wait till iftar, that's all. So he made some dua. By the evening, it was really laid down, biryani and the works, everything was laid. He was waiting for them. But you see what he was going through. Mullah left his house. Mullah Yusuf Sahib Rahmatullah is a young boy, 5 years of age, there's no food at home. So he's got the container of that atta, of the flour. And Mullah Yusuf Rahmatullah is 4 or 5 years, there's so much of starvation, he's scraping the walls of that container to pull out that atta, to make it into a paste and have it. Mullah saw this, he couldn't hold himself. He went into sajda, cried for about 15, 20 minutes. And thereafter he says, Inshallah, Khuda Ta'ala ke fazal se, in chahar diwaron mein, kabhi faqa nahi aayega. Allah has accepted my dua, and within this place here, there will never be starvation. Now you see, feeding people one meal, and the second meal, and the third meal, foreigners different, and the locals different, and the Arabs different, everybody according to his standard. So where it's coming, how it's rolling. My one cousin was there, now he's late. He was very attached to the Jamaat, right? When he went in first time to Nizamuddin for 63, 64, he went to the suit and tie, and came from Hajj and all that. So very modern, right? So he went there, they saw now, 63 is the beginning, right? So they saw a South African, so they respected him. Because if we know, right, if man changes, perhaps he will do some work on that end. So they showed him a lot of ikram. So they got him on the upstairs, where it's more cooler, and his charpai is one side, and Hazrat Ji Muhammad's charpai is on the other side. Hazrat Ji Muhammad Inam Rasin Sahib Rahmatullah. 364 somewhere maybe. So he said, I began to ask him all type of questions, all intimate questions, whatever came to my mind. All the questions I was asking. And Hazrat Ji is relaxed, and he's answering me. So Hazrat Ji asked me, he says, what's your age? I said, I'm just 25. So he asked Hazrat Ji, what's your age? So Hazrat Ji told him, when he said he's 25, he said, Tum to bachche ho, you're a small child. So he asked Hazrat Ji, ke, Tumhari umar kitni hai? What's your age? 50. So alright, then you are, Tum aada bachche ho, you're half a child. I'm a full child, and you're half a child. So Hazrat Ji still relaxed and calm with him. Hazrat Ji liked him, because good company, entertained him a little bit, amusing himself. Now came the breakfast time. Breakfast time now, what they're giving, tea, and the thick naan, thick roti, a little bit hard. Not about naan here, from mullahs. You think about that mullah, that's hard naan, very hard naan, right? And a little bit of olive oil. So now, he is used to eat all the little bit of rich food, very delicious food. So he just saw the tea, he just about one, two sips. So he's asking me, Haji Ismail, tumne khaya nahi? You didn't eat? He said, Tabligh Jamaat mein sikhaya ke kam khana chahiye. But eat little. So then he understood now, the Buzukan, they have got an inside. He understood now what happened to this person. So the next day it was really laid out. Different type of eggs, scrambled, whole eggs and all. You know, meat and chicken, everything was laid out. Now he widened the thing. And Adarji is watching him, he's eating. In the meanwhile, in the 3 or 4 days, Adarji built up a nice rapport with him, so he could talk to him freely. So he let him eat nicely, relaxed. After he got on the, from the table, Adarji asked him, Haji Ismail, aaj kya ho gaya? What happened to you? Really, you polished everything, what happened? He said, no. Oh, kabhi kabhi kab khana chahe. Now that you eat little, you eat alright, but now you can eat little. So what I was getting at is that in one zamana, it was this type of people that used to bring the money to the madrasa. Hard earned, sweat of the brow. Students were undernourished, right? But the production that came out, they had brightened the world. Then it came a zamana that people are giving hundreds of thousands, 50,000, 20,000, 100,000, 1 million, etc. They're giving, right? Money is contaminated. Something is wrong, not right. So when that type of money flowed into the madrasa, then it showed its color. When the right money came in, then that showed its true worth. But when all this type of wealth came in, now it showed its worth. See that? See the money and what it does. So this problem that I had in the madrasa, Hazrat Sheikh Uddin said the same thing. Abu Ustad Mufti Sabran said the same thing. Now he says that, see, every madrasa you go to, such lavish buildings, beautiful buildings. So the outer is looking so nice and attractive, etc. But then the production, what is the production? Obviously, the building is not the goal. It's not what you are aiming at. What you're looking at is, what's the production? One child and what he's doing. This child and what he's doing. What work he's doing. And the beauty, the magnificence of his work will be with what he was fed. He's fed right, then there'll be beauty in the work. Right. But he's not fed right, the wrong things went into him. Al-khabithatu lil-khabithin wal-khabithuna lil-khabithat. Evil people for evil. Evil men for evil women, and evil women for evil men. See? Good men for good women, and good women. But that same analogy can be stretched out, that you are evil, so that evil comes on to your side. You are not right, so that what is not right comes on your side. And if you are right, then the right things are coming on your side. See the production, how it works. So for Allah Ta'ala's sake, please, don't look at this wealth, please. Bring that contentment. Allah Pak will still nourish you. And I promise you that Allah Pak will nourish you with respect and dignity. With respect and dignity, Allah Ta'ala will nourish you. When I was ill now, there was about 20, 30 different types of medication coming in. 4 or 5 doctors coming to see. Right? I didn't call them. I wasn't feeling too relaxed, not feeling too excited about them also. But you see the respect that Allah grants you. It is a little bit, I don't say you got ikhlas, but a little bit you tried for ikhlas. You only trying. But the little bit of trying, and how Allah Ta'ala just honors you. That's what is coming, this one. That's see, that halal. Just look for halal. Have your trust in Allah Ta'ala without despising anyone, any person. Hadith of Rahmatullah Ali, he would say, Ni'mal Amir ala Babil Faqir. Wabi'sal Faqir ala Babil Amir. One is a buzurg, right? Righteous person. And one is a philanthropist, right? Very wealthy. So that buzurg that is going to the door of that wealthy, he is not right. He's frequenting his door, he is not right. But the other way around, that wealthy person is frequenting that buzul. Now, he's got the title of ni'am. He's a great person, excellent person. So the hadith of Rahman, if such a person came to him, he would respect him. And he would say, see, this title has been offered to that wealthy person that is coming to visit a wali or a buzurg or a sheikh. Ni'am, he's being offered with the title of ni'mah. He's an excellent person. He's got Allah Ta'ala in his heart. Therefore, he wants to meet people of Allah Ta'ala. So isn't he an excellent person? But if you are going to their door, that means what he has got, you are aspiring for that. He's got that wealth, so you are aspiring for that, and therefore you are going to his door. And if it's the other way around, then he's worthy of respect. See, he's worthy of respect. The world is filled with complications, confusions, right? You must have it. If there's a Nabi, then there's a Mutanabbi, isn't it? Person that fake Nabi you must have. If there's a doctor, there must be a quack doctor as well. So you must have this fake people, anything. You've got a genuine brand, Reebok, so you must have a made up brand as well. Don't you have it? A genuine brand and a fabricated brand, you must have it. So in the Mashayikh also, we'll have someone genuine and someone that is made up. Now, people think very strange, right? But they think, you see, my grandfather linked up with that buzurg, right? So that means that buzurgi, that righteousness, is passing through the family. Because it's passing through the family, therefore now I need to connect to his son. And then, because that thing is running in the family, so then when his grandson comes, my grandson needs to connect to them. Now, how they going, whether they adhering, committed to the sunnah, not committed to the sunnah, whether they living with parda, whether they showing all haya and shame, that is not the concern. Because he comes from that lineage, therefore we need to show him the respect. Allah Ta'ala, Thanvi Sahib Rahman used to say, but please, for Allah Ta'ala's sake, if you want to respect them, give them money, it's alright. This will give them money. Because you got nothing else of the dunya, but don't refer to them ever for deen. For your reformation, for masail, for guidance. Now they got nothing else, but they are coming from a good progeny, so you can help them with that. It's alright. But for deen, your deen, don't you compromise. Don't you ever compromise anything related to your deen, your islah, your reformation, correction. That person needs to be right for him to give you, dispense to you right direction. But he himself is not right. How can he dispense the right direction to you? Now you think it's hereditary, it's coming from the lineage, so it'll fall in the family. No, it's not like that. It's not like that. Imam Bukhari Sahib Rahmatullahi is not an Arab. Not at all an Arab. But he's a leader of the Muhaddithin. All the Imam of all the Muhaddithin. Allah showed that rule. But it's not that it comes into the family and it will fall. Yes, we'll respect them. If they, you know, a little bit of constraints, we'll respect them, right, in that respect. We will not speak out against them. So we'll respect them. If they are financially not off, we'll respect them. But when they not online, then how can they bring you onto line? If they're not straight, how can they straighten you? Understand? Gives a lot of stories of this nature. My one wealthy person, he's got some titles and all, he's very wealthy, got a leading government position. He's a judge. Now he has to dress up in a certain way, coat, suit and all that. Now he changed his life, he came a little bit naked, put on a beard, put on his kurta and all that. Now he went to one of these fabricated mashayikh. So he says, you dressed up like this. When you dressed up like this, then you're not going to have any awe and respect amongst people. Go bring his coat, brought his coat, call the barber, shave off his beard, put on this clothes, and now you'll have awe and respect. You see now how they play with people, manipulate. So you're going to wear this type of clothing here, and the awe and the respect will be lost. Now for the job that you are doing, you need to command some respect. If you're not going to wear this type of clothing, so you're not going to have that oil. It says it's an ordinary Molisab. So they won't show you that respect. So you wear this clothing. Now, they divert, they turn people away from Allah Ta'ala. So you're going to have the genuine, you're going to have the made up. It's going to happen all the time. So if he's following the right, then you with him. If he's not on, then you won't hurt him, you won't condemn him, you won't criticize him. But respectfully move away, look for someone that is right in the end. This person, if he's in a financial constraint, you help him. That's all, right? But You will not take the guidance from him. You will take the guidance from the person, اتَّبِعُوا مَنْ لَا يَسْأَلُكُمْ أَجْرًا وَهُمْ مُهْتَدُونَ. That's the guidance of the Quran, who doesn't look for a remuneration. Number two, himself is right. He is right and he's not after any material. That's the person that you will choose for your direction. So one murid now, he comes to his sheikh, you know. The sheikh is a little bit made up a little bit, so he comes to the sheikh and he says, you know what? What dream I saw? I saw this dream that my hands are in mess in the sewage, right? My hands are full, all. You can see all sewage coming up in my hand. Full, full, full. And your hands are in honey. Yeah, you people, dunya dar, you people are all after dunya. So therefore, my hands are in honey. You see, I'm providing all good ilm and knowledge and deen I'm passing on. So my hands are in honey. And your hands, you are after dunya, so therefore, your hands is in sewage. So the murid says, you know what, Hazrat, the dream didn't end there. The dream continues. And you know what? I am licking your hands and you licking my hands. But the piece khabis kahi ke chale jaas. But that's a fact. That's a fact now. He is there for dunya reasons, right? He is taking the dunya from him. And this person is looking for deen by him. So that is the truth of the dream, that he is looking for deen at that sheikh. But that sheikh is looking for his dunya. So when you're choosing someone, be careful. But it's a matter of Jannat and Jahannam. But it's a matter of Jannat and Jahannam. Be very careful. Be very cautious. Right. So, but the line that the Quran Sharif is showing in Surah Yasin, اتَّبِعُوا مَنْ لَا يَسْأَلُكُمْ, is not materialistic. Not that he doesn't enjoy a little bit of comfort, but he's not hankering after wealth. He's not hankering after wealth. He doesn't want any type of a remuneration. And number two, he himself is on the right. He himself is right. He's not materialistic. You see. See that the Shaykh Ulil Muhammad says, you can buy off the person's religion with a little bit of wealth. With a little bit of fear, you can frighten the person and buy off his, or give him some English titles. He's got this title here, that title. So, you can just buy him off. Now that Muslim must be so strong that nothing can buy him off. So, today's talk I started off with, that people earn Jannat because of one of two reasons mainly. Right. I was wanting to talk about something else. The whole talk changed. It's all the plan of Allah Ta'ala. What we think of, what we plan, and where Allah takes us is a different thing. So, people earn Jannat because of two reasons mainly. Just trying to make it as easy as possible. One is because of showing love, respect and service to anything that is related to deen. Anything that is related to deen, we show respect, azmat, importance, anything that is to do with deen. Now, we're in the precincts of a masjid, now you show respect to the masjid. You won't shout, you won't laugh loudly, you won't joke around. Why? Allah Pak's house. Allah Pak must be happy. I mustn't do something, I mustn't misbehave, that I get deprived of the blessings. How I conduct myself at the masjid, what I do in the masjid or in the precincts of the masjid, I must behave in such a way that Allah Pak will like my behavior and I will get blessed. So in the masjid or the precincts of the masjid. So anything to do with deen. Now this thought was running to my mind, either with kindness or showing respect and love for deen. I said to myself, but is there a hadith to support this? Is there a hadith to support this? See, with the multitude of Salafis also, we need to have proof for everything. Before, just tell the person, it can continue. But now you need to have a hadith. So Allah put in my mind, alhamdulillah, with the grace of Allah, Allah put in my mind, on the day of Qiyamah, a person will come along, right? He'll come along with 99 registers of sins, crimes, right? And each register is as long as lengthy as the eyes can see. You know, it's the plain road, you're driving on Northern Natal, right? I'm sure you can see it about 10 kilometers ahead, can't you see? So each register has got so much of wrongs that as far as the eyes can see, load 99 registers. Such. Now he says, hey, Meton Marga, I am finished, class, no hope. There was so much against me now that they can't be. So Allah Pak asked him, Alaka Uzrun, do you have any excuse for all this? All these things that you've done, can you just give an explanation? No explanation. I'm wrong about it. I got no excuse. Now he is sure that he is finished. You can see the crimes against him. You can see it, and there is no hope, no nothing. Now as he is in that situation of despondency, total despondency, I'm going to just interject here, right? But please, for Allah's sake, don't bring about despondency. Don't ever bring despondency. Now, with all this what's going on, we making people more and more despondent, right? Sometimes the man is in hospital, now he can't see anybody. They are saying that it's worse than a prison. Someone is dying, you know, because he wasn't careful, therefore he died. So he may have committed suicide. So they're saying. Now, what misleading statements to make? That family that is bereaved now, they need the compassion, condolence. And we're saying, no, the man may have committed suicide. Is that the right thing to say? Some of our ulama, Buzugan Adim, Tutla Sahib, Azmar Harun Sahib, Rahmatullahi, they passed away. And so many people are saying we saw them in Jannah, such a lofty place. Seen them with Rasul Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So on Allah Pak's side, He's giving so much of condolence and so much of hope, and we are just turning it around. We are just ignoring all the hadith, right? The hadith is saying that يَقَعُ الطَّاعُونَ فِي أَرْضٍ فَيَمْكُثُ فِيهَا صَابِرًا. When there's a plague, epidemic or pandemic, whatever, right? But you remain the sabiran. وَيَعْلَمُ أَنَّهُ مَا يُسِيبُهُ إِلَّا مَا كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَهُ. And he has that conviction that whatever Allah Ta'ala decrees will happen. Whatever Allah Pak decrees, he remains there. And with that conviction that whatever Allah Pak has decreed will happen. إِلَّا مَاتَ شَهِيدًا. He will die as a shaheed. Now, Allah Pak's Nabi is a Bukhari Sharif hadith. It's not just any hadith, it's a Bukhari Sharif hadith. So, there can't be anything more authentic. Right? That man, Allah Pak's Nabi, is giving him the confidence, the hope that he died as a shaheed. So much of hope for his wife and his children, right? So much of hope for him. And we are turning the whole thing around. So, he died as a suicide. How ridiculous can you be? How can you be ridiculous? There's so much of hope. His husband is coming back alive from the jihad. Say, hey, I thought you'd get shaheed, man. I can be the wife of a shaheed. They're so eager to do this. Here, Allah Pak gives us such an easy bargain that you remain there, don't worry. Don't worry. If you die, you've died as a shaheed. Everything is muffed. You've got a clean record. And here we're turning the thing around. Such great ulama, alright, whether they covered whatever, what happened. Perhaps they contacted someone. And we are passing that judgment here that they died suicidal. I ask you, where's your brain gone? So many, numerous people are seeing that they're in Jannah, right? Such lofty positions. People are seeing them with Rasul Ibrahim. Then we just ignore all these things here completely. But is that the right thing? For themselves, for their families, is that the right thing to do? Or just pick up their spirits, talk highly. The man that is sick, he'll feel nice. If he has to die, he'll die. But he'll die as a shaheed. No, we make the person die before his death. Is that the right thing to do? So we're talking about this Bitaqa hadith. 99 registers of sin, full of sin. And he is convinced. Main toh khatam ho gaya. But you see, Allah Pak's love, His compassion, His grace is so gracious, right? Why can't we think about His grace? Why can't we think about His mercy? Do we need to talk about this? Don't talk about it. Even if someone spoke about it, don't talk about it. I need to clear it up. I'm talking because I need to clear it up. Because I think everybody must have heard that he died as suicide. He went into that area, he died as suicide. Everybody must have heard that. Now, I need to clear my mind, therefore I have to relate it. But please, for Allah's sake, don't talk about these things. Don't make people lose confidence. You know, the despondency has gone to such a low ebb. Last week sometimes. It's a very wealthy family, right? Man, for the ghusl, hardly anybody. They had to call someone to come and help.
Family don't want to come. Say, you guys carry on. We don't want to be near them. At the time of the dafan, at the time of the burial, there's nobody there. Absolutely nobody. They phone their families, immediate families to come in. There's nobody there. They tell me then, the family is telling me, so they can't be alive. The family themselves is telling me. It's just one man that was 70 years of age, and the other was 60. They had to themselves go down, lower the body. It took them about 5 hours to cover the grave. I can imagine, now so old, slowly they had to cover the grave. But you see, they're overdoing it. Frightening. And they're overdoing it. You reach such a point that the family don't want to come. Imagine if you died and they treated you like this. How would you have felt? So we don't think in this way. This is not one case, not an isolated case. There's so many cases carrying on like this. See, we need to live, we need to do all precautions, but moderation. Not overdoing such things now. You can't even meet a visitor, a guest or a family. Now an auntie don't want to see her nephew. Assalamualaikum, we all right, carry on. Each day now, it was the time to bond, to show happiness, to exchange gifts. But now, Assalamualaikum, we all right, sorry, you carry on. Is that the way to show muhabbat? This virus, not something new. It happened in the time of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam also. People got all that. But they carry on, they still show love, they still shake hands, they still exchange gifts, they still show affection to the aunts, uncles, etc. They show all these things here. But now, suddenly we have to distance ourselves. No, that's not right. It's not Islam. It's not all Islam, it's something else. Kafir can do it, it's for him. But we have to show muhabbat. The first hadith that Nabi Samad explained about when he comes to Medina Munawwara, by Afshu Salam, make salam, shake hands, make salam, feed, join your relatives. That's the first thing that Nabi spoke about in Medina Munawwara. And we say, no, distance. So this man is watching what's going to happen to him. He's scared. To birth, he's scared. So no, today, no zulm on anybody. This paper comes in. He thinks to himself, hey, what is this paper going to do? In the meanwhile, there's La ilaha illa written there. And that thing overweighs everything else. Everything is finished. Everything is destroyed. But La ilaha illa is so powerful. But the muhaddisin say after that, he says that one time he said La ilaha illa with so much of love, so much of ikhlas, so much of the greatness and magnificence of Allah Ta'ala. He must have said it so much, with so much of love, that thing overwhelmed all the wrong that he did. You see this respect, muhabbat. That's what I'm saying. Do it. Maybe we don't come so long to the masjid, but the time that we're there with respect, muhabbat, humility, talk softly, reciting Quran Sharif, making figure, asking Allah's forgiveness. But with the heart and the soul, we don't know that which La ilaha illa or which istighfar will just tip the scale. So one is the hadith of that La ilaha illallah, you know, magnificence, respect, muhabbat, whether it's in the masjid or outside the masjid, Imam sahab, Muazzin, person that is teaching, that apa that taught you at the madrasa, all of them you respect. Now, we have turned the things around. The one that taught you big kitabs, you respect him. And that apa that taught you at the beginning, infantry stage, you don't visit, you don't give gifts. I say, they are more in need. They taught you from the very beginning. They should be shown even more respect. I don't say you don't respect your senior ustad, but they also equally, if they are late and their families, visit them, take some gifts. How much of du'as? How much of generation of muhabbat? You're generating muhabbat. That's what Islam is all about. Generate muhabbat. So one is the showing respect to deen. And the other is the act of kindness. Wherever you can show, how much you can show, according to your capacity. See, look at the hadith now. I showed you hadith for this, right? Now look at the hadith for showing kindness, generosity, etc. And he's shooting the person to Jannah. Muslim, but inshallah, he fell into wrong. We all hear about the hadith, repeatedly we hear about it. That woman is loose, all loose habits she's got. But one occasion, she felt so sorry for the dog that was thirsty. She went into the well, pulled out that water, and provided it for the dog, and that thing went to Jannah. See? So these two things brings about a magnificent change, a world of a change. Respect to deen, anything to do with deen, in Quran Sharif, respecting it, even holding it to your heart. The child that is going to madrasa, you ask him, no, the Quran can't be treated like any other book. Hold it near your heart. It's the word of Allah Ta'ala. Kiss it. So the child also has the respect of the Quran, although it's not a requirement. But now if he's trained to show respect, then when he grows up, it's Quran Sharif, I need to keep it high, cover it nice, look into it, recite something before I leave the home. Allah Makan Stofi.